everyone. I'm Gary Noll. This is the Progressive Commentary Hour. Today, Houston, we have a problem. It's more than a group of dedicated engineers trying to save a spacecraft and the occupants' lives. It's about more than 7.7 billion people living on a planet where at least 80% of those people in the next 20 years will find that their lives are challenged. Some are happening right now. How did we get here? How did we get to a place where, as of today, this is just today's news, and this is important, that if Facebook or Google create their own currency, which Facebook is doing right now, they can control our lives. The Guardian, John Harris, Facebook's Libra, L-I-B-R-A, is the last thing the world needs. Big tech's use of our data threatens to intrude even on financial transactions. And by the way, this is really dystopian. It kind of reminds us of Anthony Burgess' A Clockwork Orange. So we need to ask, if they already have illegally and ethically sold data on us, are listening to our conversations, why would we allow them to control our currency? Also, from The Guardian today, it's totally unfair. Chicago, where the rich live 30 years longer than the poor. Why? But it's true. And then also today, from Max Blumenthal and Ben Norton, two outstanding investigative journalists from Greystone, a celebrated Western-funded nonprofit collaborated with Al-Qaeda to wage lawfare on Syria. Quote, mainstream reporting on Syria has relied heavily on the work of the Commission for International Justice and Accountability, a Western government-funded regime change group whose investigators collaborated with Al-Qaeda and its extremist allies to drum up prosecutions of Syrian officials. Those are the head choppers, and yet the United States and its agencies like the CIA funded them. No one will be held accountable. No one is ever held accountable, and the media refuses to do this. These are people who once worked in mainstream media but saw how corrupt it is and now are working outside that. Every single day, we're faced with new dilemmas where we're being taken advantage of and exploited and lied to. Even the New York Times today, from Ben Norton, the New York Times admits it sends stories to the United States government for approval before publication. Quote, the New York Times casually acknowledged that it sends major scoops to the U.S. government before publication to make sure, quote, national security officials have, quote, no concerns. And they've done this all along. So I'm concerned. I'm concerned that right now the average American is not aware of how serious our problems is, how we're facing the intrusion in every part of our life. So I want to take this hour and to share my own insights, as well as those of John Whitehead, the constitutional lawyer. I want to give you a different perspective of what's going on behind the scenes. And this is important because time and again, people have been calling by the hundreds per day. What do I do? My kid can't go to school or even go out in public if they're not vaccinated, and I can be brought up on charges. And I ask again, as I will later in the program, what did you do when we were asking for your help to show the danger of genetically engineered foods? What did you do when we were asking for you to protest and join us when we were trying to shut down the Indian Point nuclear power plants just about 38 miles north of New York City? What did you do when the FDA and the CDC were stacking all of its committees with pro-vaccine and pro-pharma scientists that would allow drugs that are toxic and non-effective into the marketplace? On every single issue I could ask, what did you do? The answer is nothing. Now you want us to help you. And we will, because it is our obligation to challenge crimes against humanity. My hope is that at some point you realize that you do have power. Working cooperatively and collectively, we can challenge, but we need three. 6%. That's over 11 million Americans have to engage in a unified protest to get anything to change. Also, how the social media platforms, Google, Facebook, and YouTube, and also Wikipedia, have been used to create content and then position themselves as the final arbiters of what is right and what is acceptable. And this is all in the midst of all this attack against free speech. Irony of ironies, the people leading the charge against free speech are the left, people that historically have been there to defend free speech. Irony of ironies, the people who are allowing people like the former National Security Director, James Clapper, who lied under oath to Congress but was never held accountable for it, there's a double standard. And also Brennan, who headed the CIA, these are the people who are now have their own regular spots on the alternative media, MSNBC and CNN. Since when did it become okay to allow people who dealt in secret, who were totally, totally opaque, never transparent, and who engaged in activities that now we see engaged in regime change around the world? When did it become a good idea for so-called liberals like Rachel Maddow and these other people to invite these people who are the deep state on the air as if they're a legitimate source of objective and fair-minded information? And yet that's what's done. So if we can't see what we're becoming, what we're morphing into, our lack of genteelness, our lack of manners, our lack of disagreeing on issues but not trying to destroy someone that you disagree with. And yet right now there's a campaign to take away all the rights of all parents who choose not to vaccinate with mandatory vaccines, who have done their homework. They've come to a decision. After reading the scientific literature, we are not convinced that you've been telling us the truth about the safety and efficacy of vaccines. Now those people are being condemned in the New York Times and the Washington Post and other media as if they're the enemy. In fact, so corrupt is that entire cabal of media and scientific groups such as the American Medical Association and all of the scientific journals and groups such as the CDC and the FDA and the National Cancer Institute, that you don't have any advocates. I said this today on my show. I don't know how many of you actually caught that. When Luann called and said that hundreds of people, every second of the day for the last week, people have been calling and saying, what do I do? My kid's going to go back to school in August or September, and we don't want to vaccinate. It's against our religious principles, or it's against our ethical principles, or it's against our common sense scientific principles. But now they say that we're a bad parent, and they're going to sic social services on us, where we could be condemned, possibly even have our child taken away and put into an orphanage and or under state custody. Now, compare a child put into state custody with children coming across the border, putting into these detention camps under the most inhumane conditions, and being charged, the American public are charged $750 a night by the insiders in Washington. And there are over 40 companies involved in this mad scramble to make more detention centers, to put more of these unfortunate souls, instead of dealing with the problem humanely and reasonably. But we never deal with anything humanely or reasonably in the United States any longer, not at the corporate level, not at the media level, not at the government level, certainly not the corrupt little fetid state bullshit up at Albany and New Jersey and California, these absolutely cesspools of the worst human beings being in power. Why do you think I never have them on my radio program? Do you think it's an accident? With all the people wanting to be on the number one progressive radio program in the world, I refuse to have these people on because they have no character. Anyone who needs power over another person should never be given that power, whether in a personal relationship or in an office that oversees public affairs. So now, when no one stood up as a group, except for a small number of people from this audience, to fight against the mandatory vaccines, to fight against genetically engineered foods, to fight against the Indian Point and the possible nuclear disaster if that ever went out or was exploded in any way. Suddenly, when people come knocking on their door oh, suddenly they become hysterical and want help. What exactly have they done up to this point in their life that shows they deserve help when they haven't lifted a finger to help anyone else except their own little group or guild or club or religious group? You mean, remember what they did when they came for the gypsies, no one cared. And they came for the blacks, no one cared. And they came for the gays, no one cared. And then they came for the Jews. And then anyone who dissented. Well, today, anyone in America who dissents is considered, for all intents and purposes, an enemy of the state. Don't take my word for it. Read WikiLeaks, Julian Assange's release of how infiltrated every single environmental group, every single Occupy Wall Street group was by the FBI. And this is the same FBI that we would be told by Sean Hannity, oh, it's only at the very top, Comey and some of the very top people, but the rank and file are great. Is this the same rank and file that for decades has been setting idiots up in a sting operation and getting them to say they want to plant a bomb and then arresting them so they could up their numbers of how many terrorist attacks they prevented when they actually created the circumstance conditions for that terror attack? Is this the same one that engaged in Operation COINTELPRO? Is this the same one that infiltrated Martin Luther King's inner circle and talk about how bad he was and then tried to get him to commit suicide? Is this the same group, or am I missing something? No, these organizations are not there to serve the public. Unfortunately, when power and all the accoutrements that go with power become the main object of a person's life, then you have rot from the top to the bottom. In the White House, with every administration, and in Congress, you have a sprinkling of people, just a sprinkling of people who have enough character early on in their careers before they're fully corrupted. And unfortunately, most become fully corrupted. So I want to share some insights with you. And from these insights, maybe you can realize maybe it's time to get off your dead ass and do something. Because most people don't do a damn thing about anything that's relevant until it's their ass that's on the line, till they've had the heart attack, the cancer, have been thrown on the street, or an RV in Camp Park, anywhere in the streets out in many of the places in California, because the so-called progressives, yeah, try to find me one, living in California, don't want a poor person, even a neat person in a clean RV, on their block, parking, so they get them all removed. And then we put spikes on park benches, and you put a quarter or 50 cents, and the spike goes down. But it's only down for a period of time. What kind of person does that? What member of a city council says, yeah, we don't want the homeless sleeping outside on a bench, so let's put spikes on there, and they have to have money to keep putting it in, or the spikes come up and stab them? Let's make feeding the homeless a crime. What have we become but a deranged, degenerate society with only about 5% representing anything of a high moral, ethical, and humanistic value? But it didn't have to be this way. George Orwell said it best, and John Whitehead presented it. Quote, the further society drifts from truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. So speaking to truth today, in any medium, becomes a self-destructive act. How do you change the way people think? Well, simple. You start by changing the words they use. In totalitarian regimes, meaning a police state that we have today, where conformity and compliance are enforced at the end of a loaded gun, the government dictates what words can and cannot be used. In countries where the police state hides behind a benevolent mask and disguises itself as tolerant, the citizens censor themselves, placing their words and thoughts to conform to the dictates of the mass mind. Dystopian literature shows what happens when the populace is transformed into mindless automatons Do you all remember Ray Bradbury? He wrote Fahrenheit 451. Where reading is banned and books are burned in order to suppress dissenting ideas. While televised entertainment is used to anesthetize the populace and render them easily pacified, distracted, and controlled. In Huxley's Brave New World, serious literature, scientific thinking, and experimentation are banned because they're subversive. While critical thinking is discouraged through the use of conditioning and social taboos and inferior education, likewise expressions of individuality, independence, and morality are viewed as vulgar and abnormal. And it was Orwell's 1984, Big Brother does away with all undesirable and unnecessary words and meanings, even going so far as to routinely rewrite history and punish thought crimes. Do you think that is far-fetched? What if I told you that right now, with transhumanism research so advanced that nothing they have coming at you will look like it's a robotic? It'll look real. The people that you're confronted with will look real. They'll feel real. Their skin, their body temperature. Now, there's no real beating heart in there. It is brilliantly created and maintained. But how will it know how to converse with you? Well, it's simple. Every single one of these will be smarter than you, smarter than any person that's ever lived. Because what these programmers have done over the last 20 years, they've taken, they've taken every single great philosopher, ethicist, people like Eric Fromm, and they've put their words by categories into the machine. They can recreate any piece of art better than the original artist. Every great artist in history is programmed in. Every song ever wrote, composed, performed is in them. Every exotic and erotic thought, every fantasy, every fetish is in them. Every play acting is there. Every alleged humanistic need of comfort and warmth, even someone to confess our problems with, the machine will respond as if it's like a loving mother or a great aunt. But it's not. And while the younger generation, for the most part, are unfortunately not aware of the realities of the larger world because they haven't been it. Most of the young people going to school, the very ones that you see on campuses, say, we don't want you to talk to some, let's say, maybe a conservative person. We don't want you because you threaten our very existence. And yet the safest place in the history of the world today is on college campuses. They have more diversity employees than at any time in history. And so how can a 17 or 18-year-old who knows nothing about the world and has lived in a vacuous, mindless, contentious bubble created by parents who more often than not are either rich and stupid or very smart and very unethical? The professional, the lawyer, doctor, engineer, the famous actor and actress. Just look right now at the scandal, which is just unfolding. There are going to be many more people. These are the people who had enough disposable income they could send $500,000 to get an otherwise underperforming, intellectually challenged son or daughter into a famous university. For what reason? Why not just have private tutors if you're that interested and have them educated in that manner? Send them to a two-year college to get an associate degree. Send them to a public school. Send them to crafts and skills. Oh, but your child would never pick up a hammer. That's what the poorer classes are supposed to do. You know, the people that 30,000 every 24 hours in the morning, you can see them starting at 3 to 4 o'clock in the morning. I drove a friend to the airport. It was 4:45, and the highway going south towards Naples and Marco Island, and Bonita Springs was packed bumper to bumper. So who lives in New York City? Those who could afford it and those who serve those who can afford it and those who want to be rich and are willing to sacrifice a large quality of their life and quantity of their life so one day they'll wake up and they'll be able to have one of the big apartments. And now, right now, they're making do with the parents subsidizing. So how does a parent help you when they pay to get you into a university that you're not smart enough to get into? How does it actually strengthen your character to live around people who always say, yes, darling, and you're perfect and you're beautiful, and so you lose touch with the reality that you're just a human being like any other? So act like one and respect others who have less than you, because they're also sacred human beings, even if they're poor and come from the underclass. So your parents will do anything, make any sacrifice, so that they don't start slipping down the ladder of career success. They got to see more patients. They have to bill more often than not, in my experience, illegally lawyers. What scum so many of them are. Yeah. And I've hired and fired an awful lot of lawyers. And these are the ones who are supposed to have been ethical, working on important social issues. Nope. They were working for the money. And what about all the people who are supposed to have been idealists when they got out of medical school to help the poor and help others? And then one day, you hear someone yelling from the den because the credit cards that everyone in the family had to max out is more than what the breadwinner, the male or female in the family, has coming in as income. So if they're making $1 million, they're spending $1 million. They're making $500,000, they're spending $500,000. They're making $100,000, spending $100,000. Everybody is spending more than what they have or should for stuff they don't need, and in time will just be obsolete and thrown away. And these are the people who are supposed to be out there telling us how to live our lives. These are the children of the spoiled brat children of spoiled brat parents who are supposed to tell us that identity politics is real and good and we should embrace it. These are the people who have destroyed meritocracy, where what you do doesn't count. Everyone should be rewarded equally. If you just show up, everyone should have the same opportunity. So if everyone goes out to play basketball, if you're 5'2", and you should get on the team because no one's left out. But what if everyone went out to be an airline pilot and you can't reject anyone? Or a brain surgeon and you can't reject anyone because people will yell at you. Especially the young people, the young brats. Yeah. So everything becomes equal to everyone else. Then how are you going to have a conversation when people are such brain-dead idiots to begin with? They can't converse on anything except what they're wearing and the latest on the Kardashians, the mindless idiots. That's what we become? Yes. Except unless you've had the integrity and the strength of character to say, no, I do not need to be entertained by bread and circuses, by those who want me to spend what I don't have to buy what I don't need to create debt I can't afford. And then we're unleashing that generation to be policymakers and opinion leaders? Well, their dads and moms are, and they don't have any ethics. The entirety, all of 100% of Washington, D.C. is a cesspool in the political ideology. They want war. They need war. They're 200,000 individual contractors. They only can send their kids to the elite schools, and they can only afford all the bling and the lifestyles, the exclusive, if they have another war. The merits of the war are irrelevant. A regime change is essential and bring death in a hellfire missile, and that's good because that missile is $200,000 to replace, or a drone that was just shot down is $150 million. It probably costs $35, but in the parlance of the military-industrial complex, the price is not relevant. The fact that you're able to make it is. And that's what we become as a society. Just be honest. Have your views, but be honest about them. So here we have a society in Huxley's Brave New World where no one is supposed to read the serious literature. No one's supposed to do original scientific thinking. And they criticize and discourage anyone who challenges as any of the social taboos or the inferior education. And in Orwell's 1984, Big Brother does away with all undesirable and unnecessary words and meanings, even going so far as to routinely rewrite history and punish the thought crimes. Yeah. In the dystopian vision of the future, which is now, we have everything done for us. Play some music, okay, and you hear music. Call my friend, and someone calls your friend. Well, at what point in this process of enablement by artificial intelligence will you feel that you're not required to do anything on your own? You don't have to drive your car. Even food is being prepackaged now. So all you have to do is just heat it up. And then even that can be done by artificial intelligence and smart meters that are going to connect every single wireless smart device in your home, all the while filling your body with electromagnetic frequencies, but you don't care. And then one day, the next big thing comes, and it's here now. It's been here for a while, but not at the level that it's been created. And that is the, let's take away some of that stress. Let's bring down a couple notches off that anxiety. Just put on this beautiful little helmet, and you get in any color you want, and it has a long piece in the back that runs down your spine, and there are little electrodes all up and down. You don't have to put anything into your body. It goes through the skin because already you have taken the nanoparticulate matter, hundreds of millions of tiny microscopic pieces of information are now in your body. Well, that's interesting. What are they doing there? They're reading everything, and they're communicating. And the central brain of that communication, the ultimate algorithm, is the artificial intelligence that has taken over the unit. So now you put this on, and it knows what your anxiety is because it can read your thoughts. Now just imagine every single thought you have is being read. Every thought you've ever had. Now, if there are any thoughts that are sexual in nature or violent in nature, all those are categorized and cataloged, and then you're profiled. Now they have everything about you. And now they can control your thoughts because they can condition your thoughts. They can put thoughts into your mind. They can control your dopamine levels. They can give you dopamine hits, just like cocaine, methamphetamine, heroin, even sugar. But they're doing this because you're now under their control. You can't function without them. And they know that. That's not the future. That's right now. It's just it's going to be made inexpensive enough for every home to have this. So, let's go back to Orwell's 1984, when every word that would offend anyone is taken away, and every part of real history is rewritten. And now if you have a thought that is disagreeable, and they'll know because they're already with those nanoparticles, they're in your body, they're in your brain. So the thought police serves as the eyes and ears of Big Brother, while the Minister of Peace deals with war and defense, and the Minister of Plenty deals with all of the economic affairs, rationing, and starvation. And the Ministry of Love deals with law and order and shows how brainwashing is beneficial. And the Ministry of Truth deals with news and entertainment and education and art, all propaganda, the mottos of Oceania: war is peace, freedom is slavery, and ignorance is strength. Wow. That's our president. Well, that's our last nine presidents and secretaries of state, and everyone in government in positions of power. All three, Ray Bradbury, Aldous Huxley, and George Orwell, had an uncanny knack for realizing the future. Yet we have no one right now as a percentage of the population who seems to be aware of global warming and what they're doing to contribute to. Do you care about global warming? Of course I care about global warming. Are you willing to change anything in your life? Oh, I'm just one person. I don't have to change anything. They'll come up with it. Silicon Valley will come up with an answer. Do you think that rich and powerful are going to do anything to change their lifestyles? My God, if they dare do that, you'd see more homicides and suicides than ever before in American history. People cannot afford to live without their stuff. Mindless clutter. Massive clutter. Hoarding. The rich hoard and the poor hoard and the middle class hoard. Some will organize their hoarding. Every square inch of their domicile is stacked to the gills with shit. Does it matter? Doesn't matter to them. And it's their business, not yours. So if a person lives with clutter, how likely they are to be concise and figurative in their intellect? They're not. Let me give you one single example of a psychologist I had a lot of respect for, Eric Fromm, that's F-R-O-M-M, that illustrates something that he said, because he wrote the foreword. If any of you have read 1984, it was Eric Fromm who wrote the foreword, that the word free still existed in newspeak, but it could only be used in such statements as, this dog is free from lice, or this field is free from weeds. It could never be used in its old sense of politically free, or intellectually free, or sexually free, since political and intellectual and personal freedom no longer existed as concepts. Where we stand now is at the junction of old speak, where words have meanings and ideas can be dangerous, and new speak, where only that which is safe and accepted by the majority is permitted. The power elite has made their intentions clear. They will pursue and persecute any and all words, thoughts, and expressions that challenge their authority. So when your child is damaged or died because of vaccines, you can't say that. The media will not print that. You will never hear someone on CNN or MSNBC or Democracy Now! Having an opportunity to say, my child was completely healthy, took these vaccines, and died. And we proved that it was the vaccines because we got an autopsy and we have a toxicological report. And I've been able to meet with over the internet with over 200 other groups of parents who have had damaged vaccine children. So we are 7 million adults and 3.5 million children. There's 10 million of us out here. And they'll say, no, vaccines are safe and effective, and you are a public agitator. You're an AIDS denialist. You're a danger to the future of our health. Your child shouldn't be near our child on the playground. You shouldn't be permitted on the public streets and never in school or synagogue. No, you're not allowed there unless you're fully documented to have been vaccinated. And you look at this person and say, what has happened to you? And then you understand that the power elite has made their intentions clear. You do not allow, you're not allowed to have your freedom. This is the final link in the police state chain. It was George Orwell who said, until they became conscious, they will never rebel. And until they have rebelled, they cannot become conscious. So go back to what I said, where people can listen to this program for 40 years, and some have, and they have never protested anything in their lives. So why in the hell listen to me? Might as well listen to some cartoons with Elmer Fudd. Because if you're not going to use knowledge and insight and wisdom, then it's of no value. And yet we live in a world where the person's lack of commitment to higher ideals is the very bromide that is causing them their consternation, their hubris, and their indecisiveness. You see, it is my opinion that Americans have been conditioned to accept routine incursions onto their privacy rights. In fact, the addiction to screen devices, especially cell phones, has created a hive effect where the populace not only have watched, but is controlled by artificial bots. Artificial intelligence bots, yes. However, at one time, the idea of a total surveillance state tracking one's every move would have been the abhorrent notion to most Americans. That all changed with the 9/11 attacks I believe it was Professor Jeffrey Rosen who observed that before September 11th, the idea that Americans would voluntarily agree to live their lives under the gaze of a network of biometric surveillance cameras peering at them in government buildings, shopping malls, and subways and stadiums would have seemed unthinkable, a dystonian fantasy of a society that had surrendered privacy and anonymity. Having been reduced to a cowering citizenry, mute in the face of an elected officials who refused to represent us, helpless in the face of police brutality, powerless in the face of militarized tactics and technology that treat us like enemy combatants on a battlefield, and naked in the face of government surveillance that sees and hears all, where then do you have left to go? We have, so to speak, gone from being a nation where privacy is king to one where nothing is safe from the prying eyes of government. In search of so-called terrorists and extremists hiding amongst us, the proverbial needle in the haystack, as one official termed it, the corporate state has taken to monitoring all aspects of our lives, from cell phone calls and emails to internet activity and credit card transactions. Much of this data is being fed through fusion centers across the country, which work with the Department of Homeland Security to make threat assessments on every citizen, including school children. These are state and regional intelligence centers that collect data on you. Wasn't it George Orwell who said, "Big Brother is watching you"? He was right. Wherever you go and whatever you do, you are now being watched, especially if you leave behind an electronic footprint. When you use your cell phone and you leave a record of where the call was placed, who called you, how long it lasted, and even where you were at the time. When you use your ATM card, you leave a record of where and when you used the card. There's even a video camera at most locations equipped with facial recognition software. When you use a cell phone or drive a car enabled by GPS, you can be tracked by satellite and are. Such information is shared with government agents, including local police. And all this once private information about your consumer habits, your whereabouts, and your activities is now being fed to the U.S. government. The government has nearly inexhaustible resources when it comes to tracking our movements, from electronic wiretapping devices and traffic cameras and biometrics to radio frequency identification cards and satellites and internet surveillance. Speech recognition technology now makes it possible for the government to carry out massive eavesdropping by way of a sophisticated computer system. Phone calls can be monitored and are. The audio converted to text files and stored in computer databases indefinitely. And if any threatening words are detected, even jokingly, no matter how inane or silly, the record can be flagged and assigned to a government agent for further investigation. Federal and state governments, again, working with private corporations, monitor your internet content. Users are profiled and tracked in order to identify and target and even prosecute them. In such a climate, everyone is a suspect, and you're guilty until you can prove yourself innocent. And to underscore this shift in how the government now views its citizens, the FBI uses its wide-ranging authority to investigate individuals or groups, regardless of whether they are suspected of criminal activity. Here's what a lot of people fail to understand, however. It's not just what you say or do that is being monitored, but how you think, and that is being tracked and targeted. You've already seen this play out on the state and federal level with hate crime legislation that cracks down on so-called hateful thoughts and expression, encourages self-censoring, and reduces free debate on various subject matter. So say hello to the new thought police. Total internet surveillance by the corporate state is omnipresent as God is used by the total internet and government to predict, and more importantly, controlling the populace, and it's not as far-fetched as you may think. For example, the National Security Agency now designing an artificial intelligence system that is designed to anticipate your every move, anticipate your thoughts. In a nutshell, the National Security Agency will feed vast amounts of information it collects to a computer system known as ACQUAINT. The acronym stands for the Advanced UQ Question Answering for Intelligence, INTELLIGENCE, which the computer can then use to detect patterns and predict behavior. So no information is sacred and no information is spared. Everything from cell phone recordings and logs to emails to text messages to personal information posted on social networking sites to credit card statements to library circulation records to credit card histories is collected by the National Security Agency and shared freely with its agents at the CIA, the FBI, Department of Homeland Security. One NSA researcher actually quit the program, quote, citing concerns over the dangers in placing such a powerful weapon in the hands of top secret agents with little accountability. So ask yourself, citizen, when was the last time any government agent was held accountable for any crime against humanity? And just look at all the crimes against humanity. Look at Libya. Libya had the highest quality of life, the longest life expectancy, the highest literacy rate, the most freedom for women of any Muslim world, country in the world. It had more democracy than any other country in history, including Greece. It represented no threat, real or existential, to any country in the world, but it had the gold denier, tons of it, and it wanted freedom to work with the other African nations without the always the hegemony of the United States dollar in all of its trading. And for that, Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama had him killed and his people ravaged and his country destroyed. And where was the liberal press? Where were the liberal reporters supporting it or silent? So you think you got friends in the media? You don't. You think Mother Jones of the Nation magazine gives a hoot about your life? They don't. No? Everything that we do now is in their hands. Clearly, the age of privacy is at an end. We now find ourselves in the inevitable position of being monitored, managed, and controlled by our technology. Your kids love that. Oh, my God. If they never had to get out of bed all day and just have everything done for them, they'd just be happy as can be. Which answers not to us, this technology, but to our government and corporate elite rulers. This is the fact is stranger than fiction lesson that is being pounded into us on a daily basis. It won't be long before we find ourselves looking back on the past with longing, back to an age where we could speak to whom we wanted in privacy, buy what we wanted, think what we wanted, without those thoughts, words, and activities being tracked and processed and stored by corporate giants like Google, sold to the government agencies like the National Security Agency and CIA, and used against us by militarized police with their army of futuristic technologies. To be an individual today, to not conform, to have even a shred of privacy, and to live beyond the reach of the government's roaming eyes, technological spies, well, one must not only be a rebel, but rebel. But we're not going to rebel. We're too fat. We're too lazy. We're too comfortable. We're too biased. We're too opinionated. Everybody's got an opinion, and little, if any, real thought goes into it. So who exactly is supposed to lead the charge for change? It's not happening. Even when you rebel and take your stand, there is rarely a happy ending awaiting you. You're rendered an outlaw. So how do you survive in the American surveillance state? Because we're running out of options. I recommend it highly that you read a book. It's called Battlefield America, The War on the American People by John Whitehead, constitutional lawyer. Yet as Aldous Huxley acknowledged in Brave New World Revisited, only the vigilant can maintain their liberties and only those who are constantly and intelligently on the spot can hope to govern themselves effectively by democratic procedures. A society most of whose members spend a great deal of their time not on the spot, not here, not in their calculable future, but somewhere else, in the irrelevant other worlds of sports and soap operas, of mythology and metaphysical fantasy, will find it hard to resist the encroachments of those who manipulate and control us. Things to think about. Hope that this encouraged you to think, because that's what this program does. And I suggest also that you read another commentary from Chris Hedges called The Thought Police Are Coming from Truth Dig, last week's issue. We don't have a lot of time left. We have about 8 minutes, but I'm willing to set aside time for you to call in and share your points of view. Our callback number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And I'll ask Alex in New York, in our studio, to patch you through when you've made your call. 888-874-4888. Every day I come on the air and I share ideas. Ideas on health, on the environment, on improving our way of looking at life, being more authentic and natural, getting away from monotheistic or single-minded thinking and looking at the world from its multifactorial, multicultural basis. My hope is that people use that, but we have a lot of people who are collecting information, like collecting books. You go into their house and they say, I've listened to 22,000 of Gary's programs, and they're all here. And then you ask, exactly what have you done? Nothing yet. Nothing yet. Why not? Well, I don't think I have enough information. So you want to listen another 40 years? Yeah, that'd be a good idea. And in the interim, you're not going to do anything? No, I'm afraid of doing anything. I'm not going to do anything. Okay. And that's how it works. And I'm looking, and my goodness, we don't even have a call. So I'm going to wrap up today's program with some thoughts from Chris Hedges. Because Chris is one of the last critical thinkers. I feel sorry for Chris. Chris has been in several of my films. I've done a lot of radio broadcasts with him. I have spoken about his commentaries many times. But Chris is one of those last really courageous and brave souls who walks out against a formidable opposition of the state and institutions, including the New York Times, for which he won, from within he won a Pulitzer Prize. And Chris does not do things from fear. He's a very religious and spiritual person. He's one of the most honorable people I've ever met. There are others, too. There's Nellie Bailey, Bruce Dixon, and a whole lot more on Black Agenda Report. There are a lot of good people, and they all suffer from one serious limitation. The public is not behind them, not on global warming. While there was 1.2 million people protesting in Europe by going out of school on a Friday, and this is well publicized, and a very petite 17-year-old led them, and then she was invited to speak before the UN, for Davos, and then the British Parliament. And she did not hold back. She did not limit her punches. And did anything change because of it? No. It wasn't meant to change. That's the game they play. Yeah, we'll let you come and speak. How many thousands of congressional hearings have there been? And yet what has come from them? Nothing, in most cases. But then they could say, well, yeah, we did hearings on that. Yeah, we allow people to speak. Well, okay, when was the last time that you called Professor Thompson, William Thompson, before Congress to tell the truth that the CDC is a totally corrupt criminal organization, and he was a part of it, still is, and he admitted it. He was being recorded by a doctor in California whose son had developed vaccine-induced injuries and was seeking information under Freedom of Information Act, and Thompson called him back. That never happens. They had a conversation going because they're both scientists. At one point, he began to tell the truth and say that, you know, we covered it up. We covered up the information that the MMR vaccine caused a 324% increase in autism spectrum disorder in African-American children 36 months and younger. Now, this is the same CDC that engaged in a 40-year experiment on African-Americans called the Tuskegee Experiment, and nobody was held accountable. But here he's saying that from top to bottom, clear up to the top of the CDC, which is a military, by the way, a military organization, everybody went along with it. And then they went before Congress and lied. So interesting, that's one person that's not been invited to testify before Congress. Julian Assange has not been invited to testify before Congress. Imagine what he could tell about who really took the files out of the Democratic National Headquarters, including tens of thousands of emails between Hillary Clinton and her special friends, showing utter contempt and corruption. Huh? Why not? Because that's a truth they don't want to hear because they can't manage it. They can't handle it. And why don't they have all the women whose sons and daughters were injured or died, just died from vaccines, come day after day until they've all had a chance to express their feelings and their research? They can't allow that truth. And so we're in a society that says we demand the truth, and yet the truth is the last thing we allow. I'll give you one final example of this. I was given a call to do an interview about my work. I said, fine. And I asked the person to meet me at the Roosevelt Hotel in the Grand Ballroom because it just so happens that weekend I was doing a lecture. I had no idea who would be there and how many people, but it was packed, standing room only. I'm guessing around 33,400, 500 people. And so I began to ask some questions, as I normally do. How many people here are physicians? A lot of hands went up. Nurses, even more hands went up. Dietitians, nutritionists, people in the health field, psychologists, behavioralists, massage therapists, people who work with people in a positive way. All these hands went up. I then asked, how many people here are healthier today because protocols that they were given by me personally or through my books or articles or health support groups or our clinical studies over the years helped them? And every single hand went up. And then I asked a couple of the doctors to talk about cases that they had worked with me, and reverse conditions that were not medically reversible. And then sitting on some chairs right beside me were people who had been at the Tri-State Healing Center over a period of years for their advanced AIDS, HIV-infected, who had reversed their HIV infection and were disease-free for years. And they had a chance to talk. So then I asked this reporter, I said, this woman, I said, you have a chance to speak with anyone you want here. Don't speak with me. Speak with the people who benefited from this. And she wouldn't. But she did call and speak with Stephen Barrett, a person I've never met, a person whose entire career is based on attacking people in the alternative health movement. He attacks and denigrates chiropractic and homeopathics and the kind of nutrition we practice today, and organic, et cetera, and complementary and holistic medicine, and Chinese medicine, Ayurvedic medicine. So someone who has no background, no academic experience, no clinical experience, is not board certified, no degrees, published nothing in the field, that is the person you bring in, and you give them the same weight of authority as the person who you're profiling. Does that surprise you? That's what Time Magazine did. And that's why in the year 2000 I said, I don't need the media because I'm done with them. They're utterly, completely of no value. And that's why you don't see them on my program. Them are the politicians. And when you turn off the media, when you stop your subscriptions to the New York Times, the Washington Post, and turn off CNN, you're going to be a lot wiser and healthier for it, in my opinion. Because we do have good people like Chris Hedges. You know what I feel bad about Chris, because Chris keeps telling us the truth in the most brilliant commentaries. He and Professor Henry Giroux, there's a handful who are extremely articulate. And yet when Chris goes out there, he's pretty much going alone. That takes unique courage to know that your beliefs, your research, your truth is what you're willing to live for. So when you go to present it to the machine, to the corporate pimps in Washington, to the deep state, to all the different actors and people involved in government agencies who are there knowing how corrupt those agencies are, how inefficient they are, how duplicitous they are, how redundant they are, then who's on your side? A few people, a handful of people. In the end, he will be crushed. Not his spirit, not his integrity, not his truth. And that's why we have people, James Corbett of the Corbett Report, another one who seeks the truth and speaks it. There's some good people in this world. They're good people who are still articulating what we need to know. But boy, it wouldn't hurt if once in a while you actually came out of that closet, took off the mantle of indifference, hubris, and fear and insecurity. This is, yeah, everyone else has been protecting me. Everyone else has been fighting my fights. Everyone else has been speaking truth to power on my behalf. At what point in life do I actually have the courage to speak up for myself? I'm Gary Noll. Thank you all for listening, and have a good day.
Brother, what's up?
This is a good party, man.
Yeah, brother, like, stop right on.